bad day, even if the Brethren win the match. The trio have formed a formidable partnership ever since they first played together in the under-15s.
Lines, Kosar. Oh! Massive hit! That's the biggest hit of the season so far.
Mitchell gets free now. 3 seconds left. Goes for the three! Mike Mitchell has done it!
Yes!
He strokes it. He doesn't need a single. He'll get two. He'll get three. And he will cheer. And so will the crowd here. This has been a tremendous effort by Andy Bickle. He's made it. First-class century. But what a century. 19 boundaries included. And the century has come off just 92 deliveries. Really, you must stand up and cheer.
On Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing One, you're listening to The Big Sports Breakfast with TK and Laws. Brought to you by TAB and Volkswagen Amarok.
Welcome back to The Big Sports Breakfast. It's 7 minutes past seven on The Big Sports Breakfast, and it's Terry Kennedy's last show. It's his last program. Can you believe it? He's been here 18 years, 18 long years. He's gone through a couple of co-hosts. He started with Richard Friedman and Michael Slater and Laurie Daly.
Wow.
And TK. Last day. How are you feeling, buddy?
Yeah, fantastic. Lovely to get the nice feedback from everybody. I understand it's a little bit self-indulgent, but probably after 18 years, I'll cop it because it's been quite pleasant. Yeah. It's been very, very pleasant, and it's been very rewarding, in fact. So
there's
for another couple
of
hours, we'll be self-indulgent. Right. But the thing is, Loz, and what you get from this, and I'm sure you've probably experienced when you've exited places as well, is that you do very much become part of people's lives. And that's been the honour and the privilege that we talk about going into people's lounge rooms, into their cars as they sit and, you know, they're going to work and we get to talk about sport. So it has been a privilege. We're lucky to be in this position and it's been a fabulous 18 years. And it's been nice to hear from the likes of John O'Shea, our listeners, and Richard Friedman, who we've taken all that early morning advice upon and all the good times that we've had, and now he's back getting up early as well.
Yes.
I've got to say, people are reminding me of some stories, and one of the stories was with Richard. It's one of those moments that you have on live radio, and we'll have a guest coming up, and I can tell you what, there's not a great deal of planning, listeners and viewers, that goes into it. I'll just go, we'll point to each other and go, no, you do the intro. So I remember we had the Wallaby Rocky Elsom coming up on this one particular day.
Yeah.
We've come back from a commercial break and sort of Rich said, well, don't worry, TK. You know, I went to the private school in Canberra. I got the private school education. You know, you sort of grew up in Parramatta and you just went to Parramatta Marist, and, you know, you're a rugby league head, and I'm a rah-rah, you know. I'm a blue blood. He said, I'll do the intro to Rocky Elsom from the Wallabies. I said, good as gold, mate. Yeah, good as gold. So he's come on, he said, Rocky, and next guest on the Big Sports Breakfast, it's great to have the Wallaby joining us in, Rocky Elsom. Rocky goes, hello. Richard said, ah, Rocky, first up, what's your real name? He goes, Rocky. Richard goes, no, don't be silly. What's your real name? He goes, Rocky. I've gone, rugby union expert. I think his real name's Rocky.
We've all done that before. We've all called someone the wrong name. Now, talking about wrong names.
Yeah.
What's this story about Michelle Wu? Or Wee?
Oh, I think somebody's reminded us of that, have they?
Yeah, it's something about a third world country or something.
This is another one of our stories regarding Brett Ogle, one of our great golfing experts and one of our great golfers to come out of this country. Remember chatting about Michelle Wee, and we were talking about, you know, ages of different players, and what he said, we said we couldn't believe how young actually Michelle Wee was. And of course she had this is very early days with the Korean Asian features, and Bogle's come on and said, well, how would you ever know? They don't have, you know, they don't really take much notice of birth certificates when you're born in a third world country. She was born in Hawaii, which is in the United States of America. It's a long way from being a third world country. Let's keep taking calls on 13 53 53. We'll hear from Dave Stanley. Peter Volandis from Racing New South Wales on the eve of what's going to be a wonderful day at Royal Randwick with 40,000 people. Top temperature of 28 degrees is the forecast. We'll chat with Tony Mestroff as well from Greyhound Racing New South Wales. He's the CEO. The Million Dollar Chase on tonight, not only on Sky, but also on free-to-air TV. Michael Slater will join us between 7:30 and 8 o'clock. And we've got Todd Greenberg just after 8 o'clock, along with Robbie Slater, plus all of your views as well. He's a good mate of mine. He's given us a buzz from New Haven Park and also the Doncaster Hotel and the Brookvale Hotel and also the Great Northern Hotel. Charles Kelly, good morning, Charles.
Good morning, TK. Good morning, Loz.
How are you, Charles?
I'm very, very well. Right. I'm out in Centennial Park, doing my best.
How's that? How are those pub of yours going?
Oh, they're going well. Yeah. You know, business is good. People always like a drink. As I always say, a man who drinks is always well.
Mate, there'll be a big crowd there tonight, would there, at the Donny?
Yeah, yeah, there'll be a few country folk there tonight, this afternoon, getting ready for the Cozzy Oscar. A few punters clubs sort of turn up on the Friday night before the Everest,
yep,
which they did last year, but the main event will be tomorrow night. Tomorrow night on Everest night, that'll be the main event.
Now, I know you're a great mate of TK's. You must have plenty of stories.
Oh, please.
I've got a beauty. Well, as you know, TK, he's a very stylish dresser.
Yes.
And we have this lunch every year in Melbourne. The day after Derby, we had this good lunch at the Stokehouse restaurant. TK kindly came down there and introduced the Phantom Race Call and so forth. Anyway, he always used to turn up in a lovely red pair of shoes or something quite fancy. Anyway, this particular year, he turns up in a pair of red, I think they were Adidas shoes with the lovely white stripes and the fancy pink pants, looking as stylish as ever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the event was, we'd had all the hoo-ha and the Phantom Call and everything else. So we all get out on the veranda and lunch becomes dinner. And TK, as we've, many people have been talking about this morning, his drinking problem. We're all having a laugh and a bit of a chat, and we're standing on this veranda, which is about 2 metres in the air. Anyway, and there would have been 10 or 15 people standing there, and all of a sudden, no one knew where he was. And everyone thought he'd smoke bombed, taken off, done the early run, had to do the show the next morning or whatever. Anyway, because it's on a Sunday, this lunch, so he's got to turn up for work the next morning.
Yeah.
Anyway, 20 minutes later, this bloke turns up with the pink pants, mud, grass, plant matter all over them. Anyway, and he says, didn't you see what happened? I said, no, mate, didn't see any. I fell off the bloody veranda. So the pink pants didn't survive, but the luncheon did, and he did, and he kindly used to turn up every year, and he was great, and he's always been a good friend of our family.
Charles,
we're certainly going to miss him on the show.
Yeah.
But anyway, sure you can manage, Loz.
He'll be good.
He's been a great man. We've had a lot of good times away, and I'm sure that our listeners will miss TK. But he'll still be around, the big fella. He'll still be having a bit of a get-together and a beer.
Charles, thanks for the story, I think. But I can't deny it because it's actually true, all right? I did take the tumble down the balcony. A latch actually gave way on the veranda.
I tumbled down the stairs. Don't make excuses
but
now, Terry.
Tough as nails. I brushed myself down, and I was there the next morning.
The thing I loved about it, so I would have went straight home. I would have been embarrassed. I would have went straight home. You went back up and continued on. Mud and all.
Well, they were days gone by.
Are you sure you're Phil?
Thanks to Charles Kelly. I'll have a chat with him tomorrow, 15 minutes after 7 o'clock. We've been talking about this million-dollar chase, and yes, I did go to the wrong Dalton House yesterday, but can I tell you, it was a magnificent function. One of the features truly was hearing how this million-dollar chase will change people's lives, as it would. Can you imagine it? $1 million to the winner. It's going to be spectacular. It'll be shown across our Sky platforms. It's also got free-to-air coverage tonight, and the man who spearheaded this challenge is Tony Mestroff, who is the CEO of Greyhound Racing New South Wales. And I've got to tell you, there's a really great vibe about the greyhound racing industry currently, and Tony joins us on the line. G'day, Tone.
Hey, TK. Thanks. Very honoured to be on your show, mate.
Oh, no. Thank you, mate. I think I'm right, mate. I really got that vibe yesterday that the sport is back. It's going great. In fact, maybe going as good as ever. I know turnover's been absolutely terrific, and this is a unique opportunity tonight with the million-dollar chase.
It is a unique opportunity. Look, the main purpose of the million-dollar chase is obviously to implement our welfare initiatives, but it's been a great idea, well driven by a racing team. It's just incorporated the regional areas which we're all about. I think that was the most important thing. That's why it has changed people's lives. Someone in Gunnedah or Dubbo like Peter Carr, they can be a millionaire after tonight. I think it gives a great opportunity to the industry to make a living out of it. You saw Peter Lagione yesterday, changed his life. Yeah. He was able to, you know, obviously update his facility, also buy more dogs. So definitely life-changing for someone tonight. Pretty excited.
Yeah, just away from the million-dollar chase for a second, Tone. Now, since you've been in charge, and I know this by talking to you, you're very passionate about the welfare of the greyhounds. Yeah. And that's something that you've really tried to strive hard to change the culture of the industry. And you're doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, Larry, it wasn't easy. Obviously, I've seen positive cultural change over the last 3 years. We realised we really put a line in the sand, as I said yesterday, and said, that wasn't good enough, and it isn't good enough. And if you do the wrong thing, you're going to be out of the industry. For those people that love their greyhounds, for the greater majority, they do the right thing. There's a prosperous and great industry, but we're not going to all, you know, go back on what we promised. And we've got to look after our dogs. We've got Tim Cahill now as the GAP ambassador. Yesterday, all the money at the function and also the $20 tonight all go to GAP. So it's the most important thing. Welfare is at the forefront of everything we're doing. We're all working hard to make sure that our dogs are right after racing, so I'm rehoming all our dogs.
Yeah, well, you need to be congratulated on that, Tone. Just with the, you know, we know the Everest is on tomorrow and how big that is, but how big is the race, the greyhound race, been for you?
Oh, it's been huge. I mean, our ticket sales have been going so well tomorrow night. We've got the Hoodoo Gurus as well, which should attract some people. We're hoping for a full house. It's our second year of the Million Dollar Chase, and I think you've seen over the last 6 weeks, it's really resonated with people. People that haven't been to the dogs for a long time are actually coming to the dogs. So I think that's part of our resurgence, getting people back there. And look, we've seen from wagering figures, it's been unbelievable. Tab has been just tremendous. We've seen the show on Sky the last 6 weeks, which has really pushed that wagering. So it all goes well tonight. Fingers crossed that we get a New South Wales winner tonight as well.
Yeah, and I think that's so important, Tone, the fact that and, you know, other people are now coming into the industry, supporting the industry, younger crowd. And I know at least two groups of different friends that have come to the city the weekend. They've come to the weekend and they're going to the dogs tonight. Obviously, the race is tomorrow. So you've done an incredible job.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we're a bit different at Thoroughbreds. It's good to group. I mean, Peter Volandis and I got together and said, wouldn't it be great to have the richest greyhound race in the world, the richest turf race? And it's really worked for us, both of us together. And the idea is to bring those people down that can go on the Friday night to the Million Dollar Chase and then the Everest. And that was the whole idea, working together with TAB. So we want to get you back to the dogs, all people back. And tonight is a perfect vehicle to do that. It's part of the step in the journey for us to get back where we need to be.
And, mate, we talk about the Everest being wide open and a terrific field, Tony. Tim Newbold was telling me yesterday that the best eight dogs will be lining up here. So the best eight dogs in the country will be lining up in the final. And that's what you want, because we've got the best horses lining up in the Everest as well. $4 the field. Do you have a particular pick? Get It Gizmo is the $4 favourite from box one.
Mate, I'm not one to tip. I'm a terrible tipper, but I'd really like to see Get It Gizmo number one. Jason Mackay, I believe the best trainer will win the race. I believe Jason is the best trainer in that field. He's got two good chances with Get It Gizmo and Flying Bazza, but I just think Get It Gizmo will get out. It'll be hard to catch. So, you know, obviously the favourite, but I think he'll win tonight, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, we want to thank you for coming on the program this morning. Hopefully the $1 million chase will go well tonight, Tony. Hopefully it's a full house out there. And
just the link between Tony as well. It's quite ironic now that Tony's the boss of Greyhound Racing New South Wales. Tony, that's actually where I started as a young pup in the greyhound industry along with my father, Frank. And then, of course, I worked with Tony's dad, who was the leading cameraman at the 10 Network for year upon year upon year upon year. And now Tony, who I'd met as a young bloke, is now the boss of Greyhound Racing New South Wales. So it's been quite remarkable, Tony.
It has been remarkable. I think my dad actually claims your career, Terry, so I don't quite know what that happened. Pretty broken English speaking. So I'm not sure, but, mate, we've got a job for you, mate. Come and see me, as always. But I really appreciate your support throughout these 6 weeks and the last few years in greyhound racing. Mate, you've got a job. Come and see me.
Your dad must be a legend to make TK look good on telly.
Mate.
Pretty hard, TK.
I just said he was a genius, Tone. So there you go. Say hello to him for me.
Have a great day, mate.
You too, mate.
Tony.
Look, Tony Mestroff, he's exactly the sort of tonic that the greyhound racing industry actually needed. From that rugby league background, quite clearly, great administrator. He's coming to Greyhound Racing New South Wales. He had that line in the sand regarding the welfare of the greyhound. Yeah. There's nothing better than when you go for a walk or you go for a run or you're walking your dog is to see so many greyhounds now who have been rehomed. It's also a major issue for the thoroughbred racing industry. It's one of the major initiatives also for Peter Volandis, who's the CEO of Racing New South Wales. I'm glad to say Pete joins us on the line on the eve of what's going to be a magnificent crowd there at Royal Randwick. He's even ordered up the weather, which is remarkable, 28 degrees and crystal clear blue skies. Peter joins us on the line. G'day, Peter.
Good morning, TK. No, I'm only here to wish you all the best, my friend. And to thank you for all the services you've done to thoroughbred racing over your journey of 18 years. And I've been lucky enough to share most of that. I've been here too frigging long. So,
nothing wrong with being somewhere a long time, mate. You can achieve remarkable things, Peter.
No, that's exactly right, TK. So, look, all the best for the future. And I'm sure that you'll find something bigger and brighter and better and use your extreme talents.
Yeah, it's terrific, Pete, and you know this as well, and Laurie's learning it too as we get around all the country, different carnivals and racetracks in general, about just really how wonderful all the participants are, from the owners, the trainers, and what a huge industry the racing industry actually is, and what a great industry it is, whether it is the greyhound racing industry or the thoroughbred racing industry.
Absolutely, and you know the majority of our participants love the horse. They treat the horse better than they treat their kids most of the times. And look, there's always a rogue element that brings all industries down, and unfortunately there's a few people that still do the wrong thing, but we're determined to wipe those people out and not have them in our industry because they reflect bad on the 99% that do the right thing.
Yeah. Pete, you must be excited with the Everest being run again tomorrow. I just can't believe the amount of media attention and the excitement that surrounds the race in only 3 years. When you first came up with the concept, did you think after 3 years you'd be where you are now?
Be honest.
Look, I always thought it was going to generate significant publicity. It actually came because of a race that I used to run at, in harness racing, called the Miracle Mile. It was only six invited, but it used to cause so much controversy, and because there was only six, and because the board of the club selected the six, we got mountains of publicity for the race because it always caused controversy. And I thought, well, this is double that. There's going to be 12 horses, 12 slot owners who are all going to have different systems, different opinions and different ways to pick the horse. So it was always going to cause a lot of publicity. But you're right, I didn't expect it to be this successful so quickly and to generate the interest that it has. But I think the success of the race, in my view, is that it's because it's at the best of what we do. We in Australia breed sprinters, horses over 1,200 to 1,400 metres. And when we go to England, we don't beat them over two-mile races. We beat them over 1,200 metres. We won with Black Caviar, Chazor, Takeover Target, Miss Andretti, to name a few. So on the world stage, we are known as the champion of the sprinter. So why wouldn't we put a race on specifically what we're best at and what the punters know? And that's why the Everest, I think, has been very successful.
Yeah, Pete, I've been lucky enough to be to virtually every major race meeting right around the world. I've been blessed. But I've got to say, after last year's Everest, and hopefully again tomorrow, it's a different sort of feel, even to any sort of major race day anywhere around the world. It was a real, I've got to say, a real young vibe. But there was a vibe the entire day, not just for that one particular race. And it is quite unique. It's just something about it. It's intangible at the moment.
You're right, TK, I wish I knew what it was,
because
the atmosphere is different. It is unique. And even the jockeys tell me how unique it is and how they feel as though it's a big grand final for them. And now they're really engaging in it as their grand final. So I don't know what it is, because if we could bottle it, I'd take it to rugby league and every other sport.
Pete, on a day like the Everest, do you get a chance to relax, or are you just sort of walking around trying to find out what's going on and sort of see where you can improve for next year? What do you do on the day of the Everest?
Look, it's probably my busiest day of the year because I have a room full of decision makers and you have to forge relationships with these people. And, you know, we've got all the major media operators and all the politicians, and it gives us the opportunity to sell racing on that day. So my job is to have relationships with these people so you can pick up a phone and speak to them. And it certainly worked, because it's paid many dividends to racing over the years. Because, you know, to give you an example, when equine influenza hit, it was just picking up a phone, and we got $235 million in assistance to see us through that period. So my concentration tomorrow is making sure all these big decision makers see racing at its best and forge a relationship.
Pete, I know you don't like standing still, but as far as the Everest is concerned, and it's second year, already $14 million, how do you improve it now? Have you got a little sneaky plan you could sort of reveal to us that you might be able to improve the Everest for next year even?
Look, we certainly have a plan, no doubt about that. If you want to grow something, you can't rest on your laurels. You have to have a plan. We have a plan. And we're taking it, I believe we'll be taking it to a much bigger level within the next 2 years. And we'll surprise everybody. You know, I think the Everest, and I've said this, in the next 10 years, we'll certainly give the Melbourne Cup a run for its money as the number one race in Australia.
Now, Pete, you'll probably call me stupid here, because Tico has, and I know a lot of our older listeners have as well. But I said on Monday on the program.
Monday you came up with this wacky idea.
This great idea. I think
wacky idea.
I think a Viking clap as the horses are behind the barrier. 40,000 people at Randwick to get the Viking clap happening.
Mate, you're still getting over the grand final.
don't start me on that one.
We might try that one next year when you win the grand final.
Yeah. Pete, I've actually called for concussion protocol here for Loz, okay?
I think it's his first head bit.
Peter, good luck tomorrow. I look forward to bumping into you out there at Royal Randwick. And thanks so much for your support over a long, long time. Even before I started on the Big Sports Breakfast. So that's much, much appreciated, Peter.
No, look, and we just want to thank you, TK, for all you've done. As I said, to me, the most important element of any person is as a human being, and I don't think I've met a nicer person than you. And that, to me, is everything. You know, we can do all the things in life, but if you're not a nice human being, well, that's a different story. And you're the one of the nicest human beings in the racing industry, so I wish you all the best.
Pete, thank you very much for that. Your kind words are much appreciated, and thanks for your support as well, and look forward to bumping into you tomorrow.
Good on you, mate.
Good on you. Peter Vallandi's there, the spearhead quite clearly behind the success of racing in this state in particular, and obviously the $14 million Tab Everest as well.
Won't be happening, will it, the Viking clap?
No. Do you know what?
I think reading between the lines, I think there's a hope there next year. I think there's a hope. So it's too late to implement it tomorrow.
And see, this is like beauty's in the eye of the beholder stuff, because...
You know, on Dumb and Dumber, when the bloke asked the girl about what his chances were, and she said 1,000,000 to 1, and he said, so I'm a chance? I still think I'm a chance.
That's fair comment.
He didn't deny it straight away. He didn't say no.
No.
He didn't say no. So that keeps me alive.
No.
I've got 12 months to put a proper proposal in.
I thought he might have given you better. I thought he might have just indulged you a little bit better, Pete.
He just sort of gave me nothing. Absolutely nothing. No, but if I work on it and I put a proposal together and then present it to him, I could be a hope.
You're a good man, Lawrence. It's now 7:30. Thank you to Tony Mestroff and also Peter Volandis for their kind thoughts this morning at 7:30.